You're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, powered by the Crosstown Radio Partnership between the Daily Memphian, Crosstown Concourse, and the University of Memphis. We are raised by sound.
Good morning, listeners. This is Bishop Phoebe Roth of the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee, and welcome to Faithfully Memphis. We broadcast from WYXR 91.7 FM in Crosstown Concourse, and each week I have the opportunity to speak with someone about the role of faith in their life and the interesting and powerful initiatives and programs they are involved with. And we always start out our show with a saint of the day. And this week, I want to acknowledge Juneteenth, which is a nationally celebrated commemoration of the ending of slavery in the United States. Now, this celebration started in Galveston, Texas. Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation in September of 1862, and it became effective on January the 1st, 1863, during the Civil War. All enslaved blacks were freed after the Emancipation Proclamation. However, African Americans in Texas were not informed of anything having to do with this until June 19, 1865, 2.5 years after the fact. General Gordon Granger delivered the news in Galveston, and the immediate response was, of course, celebration. So today, on Juneteenth, we commemorate African American freedom, and we emphasize education, achievement, family, and faith. It's always a day marked by celebrations with picnics and family gatherings, but it's also a time for reflecting just on the journey of African Americans in this country and just how far we have come. So I'm here in Memphis, and this weekend there will be several events on Saturday. These will include events at Lemoyne Owen College, Douglas Park, Robert R. Church Park, and an urban musical festival at Health Sciences Park. Now, we will celebrate this weekend because we never, ever want to take our freedom for granted. And we also want to honor all the persons of goodwill of all races and from all religious backgrounds who fought to ensure that every single person in the United States would be free. It's important to remember that blacks were only considered 3/5 of a human being in the United States Constitution. So it was a long, hard battle from 1619, the year that enslaved Africans were first brought to these shores, to the Emancipation Proclamation in 1862. And even then, we know that the fight was far from over, and we're still working for full equality today in 2019. So we want to give thanks for our ancestors for bringing us thus far, and also the wonderful news that just yesterday, the House of Representatives passed legislation that will establish June the 19th as Juneteenth National Independence Day, a U.S. federal holiday. The Senate unanimously passed the legislation on Tuesday. And so I am sure that President Biden will have no problem signing this legislation into law. So hopefully next year there will actually be an official holiday for Juneteenth.
When I look back over my life and I see all the things God's done for me, been through danger, heartache, and trouble, I thank the Lord, He's rescued me. The grace of God. When I look back over my life and I see all the things the Lord has brought me through, been through sickness, trials, and suffering, I thank the Lord, He's blessed me still, oh, I could have lost the faith, and I could have fell from His grace. Now I can say that I'm still here. By the grace of God.
Your What a beautiful hymn. Here by the grace of God. I certainly think that the ancestors who have struggled in generations past would agree with that sentiment. So this morning, I'm joined in the studio by a special guest, Rakesha Hudson. She is a graduate of the University of Memphis and Freedman Hardeman University. She works as a recruiter and a trainer in the financial services industry. She has two daughters, and I learned this morning that they're both students at St. Mary's School here in Memphis. She's also a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, and we share that. So, Rakesha, good morning, and welcome to Faithfully Memphis.
Good morning, Bishop Phoebe, and thank you so much for having me this morning.
Great. So let's just start with a little background information. Can you share a little bit about where you grew up and what was the role of faith in your life when you were a girl?
Absolutely. Would be delighted to share that. Well, I am actually from Memphis, Tennessee, born and raised in Whitehaven. Of course, my mom and dad had a hand in raising me. My grandmother as well, my dad's mom. I spent a lot of time at my grandmother's house.
Mm-hmm.
I am a product, as it relates to my faith, I'm a product of Vacation Bible School.
Oh, me too.
How befitting is that for the month of June when typically churches are launching their Vacation Bible School programs? And so the church bus used to come to my neighborhood. I grew up in an apartment complex. And so the church bus would come every summer to pick up the children to attend Vacation Bible School. Well, I was one of the children that stuck like glue. I stuck to my faith. And so as a result of Vacation Bible School, I began to continue to attend the church. Mm-hmm. I was actively and involved in the Sunday school program there, actively involved as a prayer cell leader, a liturgical praise dancer. I was a junior usher. I sang in the youth choir. Absolutely busy in the ministry, but had a heart for Jesus Christ and still do. And so my humble beginnings began with Vacation Bible School. My faith took root because I realized that it was Jesus Christ totally carrying me even at a young age, just kind of through some things, you know, with school, of course, home life. Things of that sort. And so from that point, of course, Pastor Sherman Helton and Pamela Helton are the pastor and evangelist at New Hope Church, South Haven, Mississippi.
Okay.
They took me under their wings. Sister Dolores Abram and her mother, they continued to pick me up from church. I was no longer riding the church bus, but they continued to pick me up for church service on Sunday. And I just began to bloom in Jesus Christ as a result of that. And I'm so thankful that I had an early upbringing in the church, because it really did. At this age, I realized the importance of my faith.
I have been,
I don't want to say a victim, but I have been dealt a hand of grief, you know, in more ways than one, honestly. Of course, I know a lot of folks know about the loss of my husband, but I've been dealt a hand of grief in quite a few ways. And I'm so thankful that I was planted early on in my elementary years with Jesus Christ, because it's totally my faith that has carried me throughout this time in my life. I'm sure you guys are familiar with the footprints in the sand poem, and I like to think of my life as the footprints in the sand, you know. Of course, in the midst of hopelessness, that seems hopeless, in the midst of frustration, which it happens, you know, I'm so thankful to have that set of footprints in the sand, who's carrying me even when I'm kicking and screaming and hollering, don't want to be carried. God, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to feel this. But at the end of the day, it's for his glory and it's for the story. And so many people who are dealing with hurt, hopelessness, and don't know where to begin that healing process, I'm available to Jesus. And I'm so thankful that he has chosen me in one aspect. I'm thankful. On the other hand, it doesn't feel good.
Right. Wow. There's so much to unpack there, starting with the importance of the foundation, right? That even if we sometimes stray in our journey with the Lord, if we have that as a foundation, we know where to come home. But the other point that I really want to delve in a little bit is this whole notion of the pain of life. And sometimes I think perhaps new Christians with the enthusiasm think, all right, I'm on the right track and the Lord is going to clear every obstacle. And yes, that may ultimately be true. And yet, you know, what does scripture say? It rains on the just and the unjust. So all of us have challenging seasons, some longer than others in our lives, even though we are people of faith. And that can be a hard thing sometimes to reconcile because, you know, Lord, I'm walking in the path that I think you set for me, and I'm trying to keep myself anchored in your grace and mercy, and yet thing after thing after thing doesn't seem to work out. How have you sort of reconciled that and come to terms with that in your own faith walk?
And so it brings me to this scripture. This is what I've been teaching myself and my daughters.
Yeah.
John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And so what that foundation says in my house is, just as you have an expected spirit for those things that set you up for success, you know, there are things in your life that you want to accomplish, but there are some things that are going to come in your path. There are obstacles that are going to come in your path, you know?
Yes.
Expect it.
Right.
But also understand that you don't have to go it alone.
Right.
There are footprints in the sand. There is a support system.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful that the Lord already knew that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, Rakisha, your faith needs to be rooted early on. As a third grade girl, your faith needs to be rooted early on. And so he sends the Vacation Bible School van. And since that point, I've been able to lean, you know, the scripture that talks about trusting in the Lord, leaning not to my own understanding. Well, people say these things, but it's literal in my life. It's literal. Because you, I mean, you can go through a lot of things and get through and think it's you doing these things. But when you've lost two children, second trimester losses. When you have lost a spouse. But as you mentioned, Bishop, you have prayed and you thought you've done things the right way and you're full of flaws, but you're thankful for grace and mercy. And then this burden of grief, it meets you every day of your life. It takes a leap of faith for you to be able to overcome these things and conquer and decide, there's so much life inside of me. There's so much love to give. I'm available to you, Lord. It takes a person of strength and a person of faith in Jesus to be able to say, here I am. Use me, Lord. Send me how I go, as Philip says. But in saying that, you don't know what that means. And so here I am, not knowing. I remember being a little girl in front of the podium at New Hope South Haven, saying in front of the congregation, Lord, you can publicly bless me. I know that you can. Under any circumstance, send me, I'll go. I had no idea what I was saying as a little girl. I had no idea. But those are the things in my quiet time that comes back to me, that I'm reminded of what I told the Lord publicly.
Years ago.
How you have publicly, in the midst of that, though, bless me in the same right.
Mm-hmm.
This is a space of hurt, but it's also a space of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people who are walking around hurting internally, mm-hmm. and don't know what to do with that.
Right.
Don't know how to overcome that, and sometimes want to give up.
Right.
And so I'm thankful. I really am thankful that I'm not a person who will give up.
Mm-hmm.
I am a fight. I'm a lover, but I'm a fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, I am a fighter. And especially if it's something that I believe in or who I believe in, I'm going to see it until the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your openness and your honesty and your willingness to be vulnerable, to acknowledge that all of us have valleys and low points in our lives, whether we are a person of faith or not. And one of the things that I hold on to is that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine. And so every single emotion that I feel, he felt it at some point. So we have a Savior who understands exactly what we go through because he lived it during his earthly sojourn on this planet. So he's not just someone who, you know, is high and looks low. No, he walked this earth like we do. So when I'm tired or overwhelmed or any range of emotion, that is something that gives me comfort, that my Savior, who is the one who will take on my burdens, right? Because our burdens are light for him. He can do it because he lived it. He lived it. Wow. One of the main existential questions of life is this whole notion of why do bad things happen to good people? And a lot of persons far smarter than myself have, you know, pondered that question, studied that question, reflected on that question. I think in the final analysis, there are a lot of things we don't know this side of the grave. Mm-hmm. There are many, many things that we will only sort of see fully once we have transitioned over and we're with God face to face, you know, in quotes, right? But fully in God's presence after we die. And so I suppose another part of the journey of faith is just accepting that we don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And I think about Job, who was suffering so much. He had everything, and almost the Lord almost allowed everything to be taken away. And he had all these questions, and that's so human, right? That's so
absolutely
just part of what it means to be human. And God was sort of at the end like, did you set all this up? Like, you didn't set this up. I set this up.
Right.
So you're not going to understand it. Mm-hmm. But then God ended up blessing him in the end by not only giving him everything back, but even more. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when a door is closed, something different opens up, and it will never fully replace or substitute for what was lost, because that can't happen. And yet there is still opportunity, as you said, for hope, even in the midst of the heaviness and the grief.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. And to the point of why it seems that bad things mm-hmm. happen to good people.
Yeah.
A lot of people have stories, but there's not a voice to the story.
Right.
So in Job's case, he would trust the Lord even in the midst of going through what he was going through. And the Lord knew that it mm-hmm. was a trust thing.
Right.
The Lord already knew that Job was going to trust him. He wasn't going to curse him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to think that for those good people, so they say, mm-hmm.
right,
that are going through bad things, you know, the Lord trusts you.
Mm-hmm.
it's hurtful, but it's almost a compliment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, oh my goodness, the Lord sees me in this light.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that I will add a voice to this story. And what does it do when you add a voice to the story? It impacts not just you,
mm-hmm.
but those people who are hopeless or seem to be hopeless. Now they hear what you've gone through,
mm-hmm.
what you've overcame, and it gives the Lord the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, souls are saved, which is the Great Commission.
Yes.
If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And so it's when you're in it, when you're in this space, it's very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the story that I
wanted to tell.
It's not the story that I envisioned.
No.
You know, but it's purpose driven. It's purpose driven. And you do have to allow the Lord to use those around you. And of course, the word of God, internalize that so that you can continue to turn that pain into purpose so that those connected to you, or maybe they're not connected to
right.
you, some form or fashion, they will come into your space, right? Mm-hmm. You will be able to impact them some shape, form, or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So it is adding a voice to that story.
Yeah.
So it seems as though I'm a great person, which I like to think that I am, Bishop. But and bad things continue to happen in my life from a space of grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep losing people.
Yeah.
But then it continues to build your spiritual muscle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it builds resistance to those things that would matter to somebody else who isn't as strong spiritually.
Right.
Okay. It's kind of like working out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You go to the gym, you work out, you continue to do that daily. You get stronger, right?
Yeah.
Well, if I continue to go through things that I really don't want to go through, I get stronger spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to the point where now I can train other people. Kind of like a personal trainer, right?
Right.
They get to the point where they're addicted to what they're doing in the gym. They get so good at it, they can train somebody else to build their resistance. Same thing in my faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I don't want to go through these things. I imagine that the person who began working out didn't want to work out in the beginning.
Right.
It's pretty similar.
Right, right. So I invited you on the show to talk about the book that you wrote, A Widow's Journey from Grief to Grace. But it really sounds like way beyond the book. One of your purposes now is to support other people who are going through their own season of grief. Would you say that that's sort of something that the Lord has sort of given you and pressed upon your heart to do in this part of your life?
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Although I'm not going to say I ran from this purpose in life, but it continues to bring up
yes.
what I want to forget, if that makes
yes,
sense.
Yes, it does make sense.
So I won't forget my husband.
Right.
But I don't want to remember the day.
Right.
But it continues to take me back to that space.
Right.
Because when I hear the loss of a spouse,
mm-hmm.
It hurts. I empathize. This book, A Widow's Journey from Grief to Grace, Grieving My Spouse, was inspired. I'm going to tell you how the Lord just orchestrates things in my life. I subscribed to WordPress back in 2020, and it was April 2020 to begin a blog. Well, I didn't begin blogging until August 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to blog, and I would share my blog through my social media platform. I am a member of Brown Missionary Baptist Church, where I sit under a lot of amazing leaders. My pastor is Pastor Bartholomew Orr, and First Lady Valerie Orr are my leaders mm-hmm. currently. And so as a result of me writing my blog each week, I would send it out mm-hmm. through different platforms. And Sister Natalie Ezell, she would send it out as well to different families.
Mm-hmm.
She sent it out to this young lady,
mm-hmm.
and she called me and says, Rakisha, this is going on in this young lady's life. I want you to call her. I sent her your blog.
Mm.
What do you say? You say, yes, ma'am. It's like, yes, ma'am, I will do just that. So I did. I called her and I spoke with this young lady and I could hear her emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me back to December 13th, 2017. But I was reminded of why I was speaking to her. It was about her. So anyway, spoke with her, listened to her emotions. And so I asked her if she was familiar with the seven stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned that she had not heard of those stages. And so I could clearly hear the Lord saying, but she and others will as a result of the stages that you went through during this process or still going through during this process. So I want you to, this is what the Lord is telling me, sitting in Panera, talking to this young lady.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to put this in a pamphlet. Mm-hmm. I want you to put the stages of grief in a pamphlet from your perspective. I want you to talk about your journey during your widowhood.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, I reached out to my cousin and I shared with her the vision that was given, but I also still needed accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point, I started writing. The month of February is when I began to write. And the Lord just began to, when I tell you, it was a magnet. It was magnetic. The Lord just began to send people. I started having conversations with various people. And so now we're sitting with a published pamphlet is what I envision, but definitely a tool to be used for those who are grieving their spouses, anyone who's actually grieving that's going through these different stages, because the goal is to get people to understand that what you feel, the magnitude of your grief, it indicates the amount of love that you have for that person. And so everybody's process looks differently. But I don't want you to second guess your emotions, because that's dangerous. You don't feel what you feel, as my Aunt Donna had along the way has encouraged me to do. If you don't feel what you need to feel, then you won't properly heal in that space. And so you want to make sure that you're going through each stage. Sometimes they overlap, of course, but you don't want to rush through that. And so from this space, from this book, rather, I do want people to be encouraged, but I also want them to understand that they are not alone.
Right.
They are not alone. You are not the first. You're not the last. You can get through this. It is going to take some prayer. It is going to take support. It is going to take a decision. What does that decision look like? You know what, Rakisha? I want to wake up in the morning and I want to comb my hair.
Yep.
Because I was combing it before December the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wake up in the morning and I want to put on clothes that are appealing to me, because I was doing that before December the 13th. So after going through each stage, prayer and that support and deciding that I want to live. And I want to live a wholesome life, but I want to be happy in that moment. Mm-hmm. I want to mentally be in that space. Furthermore, I have children that feel what I feel, right? And they don't always want to see their mom down. Now, granted, we have conversations around grief.
Mm-hmm.
We do, because we don't want to hide behind, you know, what appears to be real, but what isn't, because that's unhealthy as well. So I understood that the importance of my healing indicated the magnitude of my children's healing as well.
Yeah.
And so so from this space, the book was inspired.
Wow.
And I'm thankful that we will have a book launch here soon. It's going to be at my church,
Ground
Missionary Baptist Church, July 10th. From 1 p.m. into 3 p.m. at the South Campus.
Great, great. One of the things that I liked in the book was you talked about the role of affirmations. And you actually provide a list of some of the affirmations that have meant the most to you. And I just wonder, what role has, in case no one has ever used an affirmation, if they're not familiar with that, what has that done for you, and how did you even find out about using affirmations in this way?
So it really is scripture, mm-hmm. right? You think about how we in the church have been raised on meditating on scripture. And right. so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you meditate on positive affirmations such as scripture or something such as the Lord is my source, he takes care of me, which is my affirmation today mm-hmm. since probably the last few months. It's something that I grew up on,
mm-hmm.
you know, understanding that what you like, you are what you think.
Yep.
If it's in your mind, it gets in your heart and you begin to act upon that. So I have to deposit those things in my mind, those affirmations in my mind, so that I can begin to internalize that and act upon that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one other affirmation is the Lord is my source. He takes care of me. Then another one that I love to use is the Lord's timing. It protects and it promotes me. Hmm. I'm not impatient. I'm not impulsive. And so I understand that in this process of waiting, it's building my trust. Mm-hmm. I'm leaning on Jesus Christ. My trust is being built in him. But then there are some things that I have to do in this space as well.
Mm-hmm.
So waiting also protects me from certain things. And so you add an affirmation to that. I'm not impatient.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not impulsive. The Lord's timing, it protects and it promotes me.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about how people follow like Tom, I guess, Eric Thomas, even Oprah Winfrey,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just various people who empower them.
Right.
You know, they look to people to empower them, to affirm them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Those people aren't always with you.
Right.
And so if you can learn, I've got this. I'm an overcomer. I'm a magnet for love. If you can begin to speak these things into your mental, get it into your spirit, before you know it, you will begin to walk in that.
Wow.
And it makes a world of a difference. You have to set the tone. You do. You really have to set the tone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference in yeah. my life, I can say.
Yeah. You know, you talk about this notion of waiting, and sometimes people will say, well, okay, then I'm just going to sit in my room and twiddle my thumbs. And waiting can be a fruitful period and an active period. So, for example, one of the things that you have done is to create the Cleo T. Hudson Jr. Memorial Foundation, even as you're going through your own process. So can you share with us a little bit about the foundation and what the goals of the foundation are?
Absolutely. I absolutely can do that. So my foundation is, of course, in memory of my husband. Mm-hmm. And it was founded. The vision was given when Cleo passed away, because at that moment, I knew that I wanted to continue to keep his legacy alive, mm-hmm. because I have two daughters. Chance is 10 and Riley is 6. And I understand the importance of continuously having those conversations about dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so the foundation was launched September 3rd, 2020, which would have been Cleo's 38th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
The vision was already there. The action began in September 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal of the foundation is to continue to live that legacy. But it's also an outreach component. Formerly, I am an elementary school counselor. I served with Shelby County Schools for 4 years oh. after my master's program.
Mm-hmm.
And so this allows me to continue to say my husband's name.
Mm-hmm.
It allows me to help those families in the community that need the assistance as well. So there are three components. One is the scholarship component, where we help male students with scholarships mm-hmm. for it's not post-secondary, it is a trade school or a okay. business startup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second piece is a Mentorship Matters program, where those young men who are awarded the scholarships will go through an 8-month mentorship program.
Mm-hmm.
We have 8 mentors who are from not the community per se, but they're actually my good friends. I've known them for 5+ years.
Uh-huh.
And then the last piece is a community involvement piece where we see the need in the community and we meet the need. The last event, we partnered with TLR Consultant, Tequila Rucker, a really good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we charged the community to provide donations. We sent out press releases, and we gave over 200 bags to the educators who were returning back the schools this past March. So mm-hmm. that's one of the things that we did in the community. Of course, on the website, there are a lot of pictures of the various community service pieces that we have involved ourselves with. And so this foundation is it's healing for me, mm-hmm. honestly. It is a way where I am continuously connected to my husband, of course, for my children as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thankful to be in this space where we're able to do our part in the community that we live in.
Wow. That's really wonderful, because so often in our pain and our grief, we can turn inward and be almost completely internally focused and oblivious to the needs and the concerns that are all around us. And it sounds like you have journeyed. I'm sure there was a period when you had to really focus primarily on yourself and your daughters, but you're now at the place where you can reach out and see others who are in need, and you're still continuing, as you said, your husband's legacy by serving them in his name and, of course, to God's honor and glory.
Of course. Absolutely. And I would like to say that 2018, 2019, so you guys are probably familiar with how people say you see the glory but you don't know the story.
Yes.
And so while you hear that the story is lost, and while you hear on this side of the microphone a person who is filled with hope and who is on the right track to be healed, there were some very hazy days.
Right.
There were some very hurtful moments. There were so many days where I withdrew myself.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I understood what depression looked like. And I know that there is this situational depression and things of that sort. So there were days where I thought that things were going to begin to get back on track mm-hmm. for me mentally and emotionally, but then I will go back into a space of isolation. So what you see, who you hear today, it's taken prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's taken a decision, and it's taken just me understanding who I am and whose I am all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm purpose. I know that God has called me to the marvelous light to do some amazing things in my community. I know that I had to go through and feel what I felt. And it's not to say that I don't have days where I totally miss my husband and wish that he were here, mm-hmm. and knowing that there's some things that we could link up and do together. But I understand that God's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it, and he's got me, and I'm encouraged, and I'm super blessed. I'm thankful. I'm humbled. And I just want the world to know that you can do anything that you put your mind to, literally, but you have got to decide.
Mm.
You've got to make a decision.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you won't waver, because I talk a little bit about that as
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
how you decide and then you kind of go back and mm-hmm. forth in that decision. But because I'm surrounded by love, and I'm surrounded by, of course, an amazing sorority, an amazing church family, an amazing business, my immediate family, I'm so thankful that I had people around me to remind me prior to December 13th, this is who you were.
Yeah.
So we can get you back to that space
mm-hmm.
so that you can begin to walk in purpose on purpose.
Wow. So I love you, this notion of intentionality, that yeah, the Lord is going to show up and show out the way God always does.
Yes,
and yet there is a role that we have to play, right?
Yes.
Because if Jesus is standing there, you know, sort of knocking on the door of our heart, and we aren't available, willing, ready, and open, then Jesus may have to wait a little while until we are. So this notion of intentionality, and openness, a posture of openness and readiness, and not knowing at the beginning of that journey, not having any idea where it's going to lead. I think, Rakisha, there's probably someone listening today who needed to hear your testimony. So thank you again for your willingness to just share and to really be a vessel, to be a conduit of God's love and grace and mercy and compassion. And as you said, it can be uncomfortable when the Lord is using us in this way. So, you know, as we conclude the interview, so much is happening not only in the larger world, but here in Shelby County, and then, of course, in our personal lives and our personal circumstances. And I just wonder if you have any final words about what it is that gives you hope. Why you can be here in the studio with a beautiful smile on your face and not give in to despair or just a sense of abandonment, but to really be positive and filled with hope.
I have an appreciation for life. Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine last week, and we talked about appreciation and expectation. Mm-hmm. And so expectation, a lot of times it brings about disappointment. But when I can wake up in the morning and understand that the Lord, his love, it greets me every morning. I have an appreciation for that. God, I'm thankful that you saw fit to give me the opportunity to wake up this morning and to place my feet on the floor and to walk in grace and to walk in goodness and to walk in humility. I'm thankful for that. And so I want to maximize on that opportunity. And even greater than that, I want to be the role model for my daughters. I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be the role models for Chance Imani and for Riley Grace. I want them to know that even in the midst of hurt, mm-hmm. there's hope. Even in the midst of despair, there's desire. And so I want to fulfill those desires. I have a lot of love to give. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of life to live, and I'm still pretty young, Bishop. Yep. You know? So yep. Like I said, it's discomforting, and I like to think that it's very unfortunate, and sometimes, I'm going to be honest, it's unfair.
Yeah.
You know? But at the end of the day, I can sit and I can meditate on what could take me down a road of depression, or I can sit and think about, girl, you've got a lot that you could be doing. There are mm-hmm. so many people that you know, you need to be in the company of. Mm-hmm. There are so many places that you need to see. There's a whole world out there. And so for those of you all who are, maybe you're in a new space, maybe this is new to you. Maybe you're grieving the loss of your spouse. Maybe you're grieving the loss of a child or whatever the case may be. It's not easy, but it's possible. It doesn't feel good. It is frustrating. It is unfair. It is hurtful. It is a valley. It is a pit. It seems like it gets deeper and deeper. It's a space of darkness. It's gloomy. You want to isolate yourself. You want to withdraw. Some folks might be suicidal. Some people don't know if they're going or coming. Place yourself around those who love you in the mm-hmm. process. Mm-hmm. Make sure you are around those who care about you in the process. And just continue to wake up in the morning. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. And make a decision that you want to live. And the day will come. The day will come where there will be hope. That desire will be fulfilled. And you will walk in purpose on purpose.
Wow. Thank you. So for our listeners who want to learn more, you can Google the Cleo T. Hudson Jr. Memorial Foundation to learn more about the work of the foundation. And again, on July the 10th, you will be having a book. Is it a book signing? And give us the details of that again, please.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for the opportunity once again. So July 10th, 2021 at Brown Missionary Baptist Church, the South Campus, that's 7200 Sweeney Road. I will have a book signing. It is from 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. And I will have books on hand for purchase.
Thank you.
yourself in a place that you don't know what to say. The things I depended on were gone. I realized I couldn't do it on my own. I used to want to understand.
So I just want to thank the listeners for being present today, and what a powerful testimony from our special guest today, and I hope that her words have inspired and encouraged those of you who may be struggling. We were talking about Rakisha's book, and next Thursday, I will be interviewing Westina Matthews, who has written a book based upon a series of interviews that she did with the five Black female diocesan bishops in the Episcopal Church. And that book, which includes my story and a little bit of my journey, will be released this summer. So if you tune in next Thursday, you'll have an opportunity to learn a little bit about that book. So until next time, sisters and brothers, stay safe and stay positive.
Listening to WIXR Memphis 91.7 FM.
This is the Early Word Morning News Update. From Mary Casciola, I'm Natalie Van Gundy. Today is Thursday, June 17th, and Shelby County Register of Deeds, Shalandra Ford, is hosting an online town hall meeting this morning. We've also got the final three episodes of Promised Land, the John Morant documentary, out today on streaming service Crackle. Singer-songwriter Trey Burt will be performing in the central atrium of Crosstown Concourse, and it may seem like it's already been open for a minute,